This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So give us a call if you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State football, the last home game coming up Saturday, or to Michigan State basketball coming up on Sunday. Give us a call here at 884-4870, 884-4870 for your chance to win tickets right here on WKAR. So we just looking for you to call. Hopefully, we have special guest Carlton Valentine at 1:20, and then we hope to talk with. We didn't solidify, but we hope we've got a good chance of talking with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News from the Big Ten Network with us about Big Ten basketball. He sent me a message that he's in Atlanta right now, so he'll be attending tonight's game. Hopefully, we get a chance. We'll talk with him about Big Ten basketball. So just give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Probably be open line for this first 20 minutes. This game tonight, coming up Saturday against Northwestern. Boy, that's going to be a tough game. I mean, Northwestern is 7-3, 3-3 in the Big Ten. And nobody really expected Northwestern to be as good as they are this year, except Northwestern and their crew. They expected to be good, and they have been. They've been very good, and nobody really expected Michigan State to be 5-5 and 2-4 in the Big Ten. So this is going to be a very pleasant and an interesting matchup. I mean, Northwestern has some playmakers. Their quarterbacks are playmakers. So that's going to be a very interesting game coming up. Now, the 33 wins are tied for the second most by any senior class in the 116-year history of Michigan State football. Record is 37 wins by the 2011 class. Of course, the 2012 class also owns a home record of 20-7. So that's what the Michigan State has done, a very good job playing at home in front of their crowd. So no doubt about that. Once again, give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, though, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. And we want you to come and join us each and every day. We look forward to talking with you, you know, and share your opinions. What do you think about tonight's game? Michigan State playing in Atlanta tonight, playing Kansas. Kansas is going to probably be one of those teams that you'll probably be talking about when we get around the Final Four time. But they're a good team, and we're going to be talking about that team. So give us a call, talk sports with us if you have any opinions on that first basketball game. We did talk about that a little bit, but if you want to talk some more about Michigan State and they played Connecticut, you can do that as well. So just give us a call, talk sports, and also congratulations to the Michigan State soccer team. They will be playing Cleveland State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So congratulations to Michigan State as they won the Big Ten championship, beating Michigan in the Big Ten championship. The Michigan State women play again this. They play Eastern Michigan coming up, and then they'll play the Spartans a little bit later on. They'll play. Keene State coming up. They're 1-1-1, and record is the same as EMU. They play that in Ypsilanti Thursday at 7 o'clock. They play at Eastern Michigan, so that should be a pretty tough game for them. That's for sure. Then they play Virginia Tech coming up on Sunday at 4 o'clock, and that'll be after the Michigan State game as part of a Spartan doubleheader. So the men and the women play both on Sunday, and so you can see that game from the Spartans men's team and the Spartan women's team. So you get a chance to see both teams. So give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870. And Michigan State has played. I went to that last game last Sunday. Michigan State is playing pretty well with a makeshift lineup. Courtney Schiffauer is starting. Annalise Picarell, Becca Mills, Jasmine Thomas, and Clarissa Bell. That's the starting five. And Jasmine Hines is coming off the bench. She's averaging 11 points and 7 rebounds. Jasmine Hines was a very good player in high school and is becoming a very good player in college. But that's the top eight. They've had, as many of you know, they've had three players struck down with ACLs, torn ACLs, and they're still trying to play over that and play through that with the three players who, you know, who are basically are done for the year. So, you know, we'll have to look and see if one of the players may come back. This may not be totally an ACL tear, but one player might come back. But other than that, you know, it's going to be a tough road for Michigan State when the competition starts picking up. Annalise Picarell made her first career start, scoring in double figures for just the third time with a career high of 18 points. Michu shot 71% in the second half, its best field goal percentage in a half since November 12th, 2008, against Niagara. So, good win for Michigan State, and that's what's going on with Michigan State sports. And you can give us a call, talk sports with us, right here on AM 870 WKAR. 355-9527. Let's go to Saginaw and check in with Michael. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? I'm waiting for the hockey fans to call saying they never go see a hockey game again after this lockout. I'm waiting on it. Like last year when basketball had their lockout, you did get some calls saying they'll never watch NBA basketball and shoot down the character of the NBA. Mm-hmm. But now since hockey got a lockout, I'm just waiting for those fans to call.
Yes,
you know how loyal fans are to certain sports and certain teams. So I'm waiting on that. But I've called you to talk about college basketball in particular. Michigan State is really doing something that never been done. They're playing on a ship. Now they're playing at a military base.
Yeah.
You since that, I was just surprised when I was reading the stories from the game and everything, how many people went to college at Michigan State, but they in the military,
mm-hmm.
which really surprised me. I said, man, I thought you – those people who go to college, that's what they're trying to do, get good grades, so they won't have more options besides the military. But I think more people love their country
right.
than we let on and everything. So, but I was going to talk to you about the point guard play on Michigan State. I know that Keith Applin, is he a natural point guard or he's just a point guard shooter learning how to play point guard?
Yeah, he's learning how to play point guard.
Okay, then. Because he's got the size to be a point guard. But, you know, in the NBA, they got guys who 6'3" on to be shooters and everything. So would that be advantages? Like when the Pistons was winning those championships, I know Joe Dumars was only 6'3", and Isaiah, was he 6'1"?
Barely.
Right. Yeah. And they interchanged. You know, Isaiah play the shooting guard, didn't he?
No, he was the point.
He was always
the point guard.
Okay, then. And I just I just want to know, is Knicks really – in condition now, or he's still having stamina?
No, he's in good shape now.
Okay.
His condition has gotten very good.
I was noticing, I was watching Central Michigan and Purdue last night, and I noticed how the coaches was changing players. He was changing the game.
Yeah.
He was changing like a hockey coach and everything. And it made me thought about the coaches on the college level and stuff. It's a lot of coaches just in the early season, they trying to figure out who they can rely on during the conference season when they do
right.
that, or they
exactly.
just doing that because of the
No, they're trying to find out who's the best players they got. I mean, even though they practice every day, a lot of players, you just won't know how good they are until you play in front of a crowd.
The game conditions,
exactly.
Right? Okay, then. Yeah, because I just noticed that. I wonder why college, you know, back in the day, they had five players and they played five players. But when North Carolina started changing players off the bench, you know, they would bring off their first team, then they bring a second team in, and then they most teams go to eight players now. I just realized that I'd rather, if I was, my coaching philosophy would, if I have my first five players and I play till they get tired, then I go in and put some more to players and let them catch their wind and back. But I think a lot of college coaches, they trying to, that I don't know, some coaches overdo it. They trying to appease the players or they trying to please the parents of the players. I just take it off the end. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Yeah, coaches know they have to appease the parents and the players. They say most of them will tell you that you know, their job is just to win games. They're trying to win games, but the reality is they're trying to please parents and kids because they don't want the kid to transfer. You don't want anybody to transfer. That puts your program in a little bit different light if people aren't starting to transfer a lot. So you do. You try to please the parent. You try to please the kid. You try to do a little bit of both. I mean, you don't want to compromise your integrity or your values. That's what you're trying to stay away from. So you'll do what you can for the kids. But the most part, you see a lot of people play early in the season in these first few games, two or three games, or maybe even longer in the non-conference play before you get to conference games, just to find out who are the most reliable players that we have. Who can we depend on in crunch time? That's what they're trying to find out. Who can they depend on in crunch time? Who is the most reliable players on this team? And we'll see how that works out. Eventually, that will always come to light, that's for sure. And you will find out who is the most reliable players that you have that you can count on. And then you'll see the schedule or the players start to, their time being cut. And they'll start to have more of a consistent rotation, whether it's seven guys or eight guys or nine or ten. Right now, Tom is in around close to 10 guys. Izzo is about close to 10. I think he might keep it up that high, but I'm thinking he'll probably reduce his rotation to about eight players and that he'll rely on game in and game out. But we'll just have to wait and see because he's still playing everyone, giving everybody a shot at playing. So, there's an old saying, you better do something when you get on the floor. Whether you get on the floor for 1 minute or 2 minutes, make something happen. Make some good decisions, whether you make shots or good passes, play good defense. But definitely make something happen when you get onto the court. Now that's your job as a player, and that's what you have to do. When you have young players and you're trying to find your way, and they're trying to find their way, do they fit in to the game plan? That's the question, and that's what you'll have to find out. Are they ready for the game plan, and can they fit into the game plan? That's for sure. Players have to do that and have to know how they fit in. Like, for example, Michigan State's freshman, he really fit in right away. Fred Harris, Gary Harris, that is, he fit in very well at the start. He's claimed the off guard spot, but he fit in well offensively and defensively. He just looks like he's always been there. Well, let's bring in a good friend of ours and. He's got a tough job ahead of him. He's won the state championship for Lansing Sexton for the last 2 years. And now Carlton's got to get ready for another year. So let's bring in our good friend Carlton Valentine. Carlton, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
You're doing okay. You got a tough job this year. You've got, your guards are gone, but you got a big front line. I know practice starts today, right?
Well, yeah, we had a tryouts beginning yesterday, so we were high school. You got to give everybody a chance to come out. So we're gonna do tryouts today and tomorrow. Yesterday and today, and then we're gonna go to work on Wednesday, Earl. See what we got.
Yeah, do you think you'll be able to pick many guys out of? Do you usually have guys making the team out of the tryouts?
Well, every now and then you're gonna find one or two kids that will catch your eye, that will do something that you thought they couldn't do. But for the most time, in high school basketball, at least I know in my program, I pretty much know the guys because we do a summer program where, we go to team camps, we play in summer leagues, guys do individual workouts, do four-man workouts. So, usually you have a pretty good idea of what you got, but every now and then you do have someone that surprises you.
Yeah. Now, obviously, do you address the point that you've won the last two state championships, or you just ignore this with this group and tell them they just have to make their own way? Or do you address that saying, you know, because a lot of teams, as you know, a lot of teams will be coming after you just because you're the two-time defending champion?
Well, no, you always make reference to it, but you don't make comparisons. You know, history is history, and that's what it is. And you got to let the guys know that you got there for a reason, through hard work, dedication, guys trusting the system, playing together. And quite honestly, we had really, really good players. Mm-hmm. We had good players that liked each other, cared about each other. And you try to duplicate the same, but you can never compare because you can't compare the personnel. You know, you had three guys playing Division I basketball, another guy playing Division III, so that's four college basketball players lost from your program. So you're not going to replace that right away, but you have to work with what you got and, you know, build from there. So, no, you're going to reference the championships because the guys, every time they come in the gym, they see the banners hanging, and that's a part of who we are.
As you know, when kids are young and like even when, say, when you were young, we have a thing of wanting to be a part of a winning program. Do you think that's going to get more kids coming out for you just because they want to be part of a winning program and you've been very successful? As we know, kids like success and they love to come out for teams that win.
Yeah, that's the gift and the curse there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a gift and a curse because, you know, some kids will come out and they may have not put the work in.
Well, they
may have not done the proper skill development or had the right conditioning or worked on the games in the off season. They just want the fame and the glory and they want to be around the program, but some kids don't understand how you got there. The guys that we've had in the past, man, they put a lot of work in, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of work, you know, as far as them guys basically made themselves in the off season with, you know, a lot of training. You know, physical training, going to see trainers, you know, playing AAU basketball, you know, year-round, traveling all over the country. And, I mean, there's a reason for the success. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there are kids coming out that don't even understand that. They think they can just show up and...
Right, be a part of the team.
And people just handing out scholarships. It don't work that way, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you've got two sons in college now, one here coming at Michigan State, the other one just finishing up at Oakland University. How do you, when you go to the games, do you analyze the game from a coach's standpoint or do you analyze the game just from a parent's standpoint?
I've learned how to do both, you know.
Okay.
Especially with Drew. I just got off the phone with Drew 5 minutes ago and they're playing at Boise State tonight. And, you know, when I watch the game, I'm always going to watch it from a coach's perspective. And but, you know, I'm very supportive as a father. You know what I mean? I think, you know, you have to be able to listen when the game's over. And you don't say anything unless they ask you. You know what I mean? It's funny you say that because, you know, right after the game, Drew wants to know how to do. you know, Denzel, after his first exhibition game, he said how to do, you know. And, you know, I'm always talk about the positive. Hey, you know, you're playing college basketball, you know, make sure you trust your coaching and love your teammates. Those are the two biggest things, you know, trust your coaching and enjoy your teammates. I can't coach anymore. You know, you learn from someone else. I've got you to this point. So I'm more of a dad now at the games than a coach. You know what I mean?
You know, that it's funny that you say that because, as you know, you have to deal with a lot of parents. Parents in college, they're always offering the coach advice and how they should coach their son and such. I know you don't go that way, but a lot of parents think they're like they think they're coaches, as you know.
Well, one thing, you know, I learned from a great coach, Morgan Wooten, coached me at DeMatha High School. And, you know, one thing he says in his book, he said, everybody's a coach. You know, the people sitting in the stands, he said, the kids are always being evaluated by your peers, by parents, uncles, aunts, cousins, people in the neighborhood. Everybody's a coach and everybody knows something. But what do they really know? Unless you're in that locker room, unless you're in those film sessions, unless you're in the group dynamic with the group, okay, what do you really know? You know what I mean? You don't really know anything. So, you know, that's why I always, my text and conversations with my two sons are, hey, trust your coaching and love your teammates. You know, because that the 4 years will go fast, and you're going to cry like a baby when it's over. I remember after my 4 years playing in Michigan State, man, it just went too fast. So, that's my angle right there, Earl. You know, and I'm very realistic about my kids and what kind of players they are. So, I don't have delusions of grandeur or anything like that. I know what kind of players they are. They're both facilitators, you know what I mean? They're team guys, you know. You can see that when you watch them play. They're not going to get 30 every night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, trust your coaching and love your teammates.
Okay. Got a caller on the line for you. Let's go to the phones. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing great. First of all, how are those knees? You doing all right?
Man, hey, I'm moving. they're not as good as they could be, but I'm going to be okay, though.
All right. I got to tell you, man, I'm enjoying being coming to Iowa, Cleveland State, looking forward to seeing them against Michigan tonight. And Michigan State fan, watching your alums go on and do bigger things at the next level. So I can imagine that you got to be a pretty busy guy with your television viewing, too. Trying to catch up with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I got three kids playing tonight. My shooting guard that played for me last year, Brent Forbes, he plays at Cleveland State. They'll be playing Michigan tonight, part of NIT. Drew's going to be playing. My older son Drew's going to be playing at Boise State. And Denzel, Michigan State, will be playing against Kansas. So I got three DVRs working tonight, man.
Hey, man, I saw Jalen for the first time playing soccer against my son, Cam. And I never thought he was long, but I never thought he'd become the basketball player. I didn't know he played basketball. I don't know if you know, but he was quite a soccer player. I was really disappointed when he stopped playing soccer and went on to play basketball. So I'm curious as to how you've seen him develop as a basketball player since he's been over there with you for 3 years and going on four, and what you expect of him once he goes to college. And I'll hang up on this. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, that's my man, Dot, man. Yeah. Dot's a great guy. Hey, Jalen Hayes, man, has really, really developed as a basketball player. Let me tell you, this is the best thing I could tell you about Jalen. I watched him this summer out in Las Vegas in the Adidas Super 64 with the Michigan Mustangs, and he played with quite a team. He had Dirk Walton, who's going to play at Michigan, and my guy, Man from Flint Beecher, who's going to play at Iowa State, and they beat a team by 30. And they won the whole tournament. Jalen had 24 points in the championship game. But I saw them completely dismantle a team that had two kids in the top 10 in the country that are going to Florida, Casey Hill and Chris Wright. And I sat there in the front row and watched Jalen Hayes just completely go to work. A lefty who's really, really developed his game. He's a post guy in high school, but he's going to be a three in college because he's 6'7", kind of thin. But he's not skinny. You know, he's lean. And Jalen's really developed. And actually, he's going to sign his national letter of intent tomorrow at 9:30. We're going to have a press conference over at Sexton for him. So, I'm excited for Jalen and his family. He keeps the tradition going. We got six guys right now currently playing Division I basketball this season, and he'll be seven. So we've been lucky, blessed, but like they say, luck is the hard work is the residue. What do they say? Luck is the residue of hard work.
Hard work. Yep.
Yeah.
And when you look at this year's team, how do you see this year's team? Because I know we talked over the summer, how you got to find some guards. Do you think you got the guard play? It sounds like you're really happy with the two big men that you got playing up front. So how is it finding you? How is your guard play you think is going to be this year?
We're still developing. We're still developing because until you get into actual games, you won't know how your guys are going to play. Because we don't have any experience at that position. either the one or the two or the three. I mean, and Trevor Manuel may play the three for us, even though he's 6'9", because he can handle the ball and shoot pretty good. So, you know, Trevor may be the three. We have another 6'5 kid that may move into a post position. So we may be 6'9", 6'7", 6'5", on the baseline. So, you know, if I can find a couple guys, we're just looking for some guys for some consistency at the guard position. And, you know, we'll be developing as we go along. There's one kid that came along who's really good, but he will not be eligible till January. Jeremy Williamson transferred from Jackson. He was their leading scorer last year. And he's first-team all-conference. But, yeah, Jeremy will not be eligible until January. But and he's an automatic step-in guy. He can flat-out score the ball. He scored over 20 on us both games last year. So he's definitely going to play. But until then, you know, we're gonna learn on the fly, Earl.
Yeah. How will you work him in? I mean, you want to keep him sharp, but you know you can't have him taking too much time from the guys that you have, even though you know he's going to play when you get him in. So how do you work that in practice? How will you work that?
All right, actually, that's pretty easy because okay. I've had a situation before.
Mm-hmm.
You just have him in with the second unit all the time.
Okay.
You know, you got to play him with the second unit mm-hmm. so that he can learn the system because he still doesn't understand the system yet. You know,
yeah.
We haven't even done anything, so. As long as he's learning the system, he'll get a feel for the game. And he's got a great feel. He's got good range. And he's probably going to play in college, Earl. He's that good. He's going to play in college. So he'll be the next one from that class of 2013 to get a scholarship offer.
Yeah, that is good because you have to skill them. I know you're very big on the fundamentals. And so they have to become fundamentally sound, don't they?
Oh, no, absolutely, man. You know, that was one thing we talked about last night at practice, you know, was just working on fundamentals. You know, I went back to the daily dozen, man. You know, the daily dozen, man. You know, just working on basic stuff, man. You know, hey, I just remember, you know, John Wooden, man, what he used to say on the first day of practice, he taught his guys how to tie up their shoes and put on their socks properly. If you don't start with the fundamentals, man, you're going to be in trouble, so... That's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Now, we know the game of basketball has changed a whole lot from your playing day and such. You know, now big guys, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", they're all working on their skills as being ball handlers. As you know, back in your day, you know, everybody, if you were a big guy considered up front, you were playing with your back to the basket. But now, you know, hardly any of the guys coming up in today's world, they're all learning how to handle the ball and become good ball handlers.
No, absolutely. You know, I think that's part of that European play, man, has helped revolutionize the game. And one of our greatest players of all time, Irvin Magic Johnson, helped revolutionize the game with, you know, being able to handle the ball and face the basket at 6'9", you know what I mean? So and you look at players like Dirk Nowitzki and Kevin Durant, them guys are 6'9", 6'10", man. They can face and do it, man, flat out shoot the ball, man. So... You know, what I do with kids, man, is, you know, I don't pigeonhole a kid to one position. You know, I would say skill level dictates position. You know, if you can handle the ball, then you can play perimeter. If you can't and you're big, then, you know, you have to be a hustler, rebounder, scrapper, and play with your back to the basket. But, you know, skill level dictates position, not size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the thing. Yeah, yes, because so many players today, you know, they are developing and they're getting just better overall game. Do you find that more players just have a better all-around game today than they used to? Or do you say maybe they're just maybe they're learning, but they're maybe they're thin at somewhat, but, you know, they're all thinking that they can play a guard or play like a guard?
I think everybody wants to be a guard.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a guard, man. The game just evolved that way, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing I try to do is make sure that we work on a variety of things. You know, we do station work. You know, we'll have everybody go through and work on two-ball dribble, work on acceleration moves. And then when we do our post moves, we have everybody, you know, do the post moves. You know, drop step, step through, up and under, all those kind of things. We try to incorporate a little bit of everything, and based on your feel as a coach, that's where you put players at. But yeah, everybody nowadays is facing the basket and trying to play like that, man.
Yes, sir. What about when players, as we know, you know, they fall in love with the three-point shot? You know, anytime I go to the gym, I can see 7 or 8 kids, 8 or 9 years old, little bitty kids out there from the three-point line trying to throw a ball up there. Now, they can't make it for the most part, but they're always trying. Is that something you had to talk about with guys because so many of them are trying to be three-point shooters?
No, absolutely. You know, the rule of thumb is if you can't make 70% of your shots without defense on you, that's probably a shot that you shouldn't be taking in the game. You know what I mean? So that's what we look at. You know, if you're a younger player and you're 10 years old, basically you want to work on layups and free throws in mid-range, you know? And as your body gets stronger and develops, then you can move out on the perimeter and work on your three-point shot. But, you know, hey, we can blame good old Sports Center for that.
They
show dunks and threes, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's all they show. You know.
I watch Sports Center. You'll see. I mean, it's dunks and threes, man. And if you're a little kid, what you see? You know, you see dunks and threes.
Yep.
People cheer. Nobody cheers when you make a regular shot.
Right.
You make a three, everybody goes crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the game has certainly changed, that's for sure. Hey, Carlton, I know you're one of the coaches who emphasizes defense very heavily. How the guys take, I mean, we know everybody wants to score, but how do they take, do they want to play defense, or do they just, it's one of those things that you got to do?
Well, in our program, you know, my motto is if you can't check, you can't play. So, you know, I've adopted that motto. And, you know, if I say you can't check, you know, the next thing, the whole group will say you can't play. So, you know, it's just a philosophy. And always, you know, I always say this, too. You know, hey, it's not what you coach, you know. Mm-hmm. It's what you emphasize. And we put a big emphasis on defense, you know what I mean? So, not just guarding the ball, but learning how to play with away from the ball, learning how to help hedge and throw people through screens and communication, just a little bit of everything on the defensive end. So, you know, I know a lot of teams, you know, I don't play any zone. If you ever watch my teams, we don't play zone. I don't like zone. You know, I want guys to be able to learn how to defend man-to-man and learn the total aspect of playing man-to-man defense. So, you know, we pressure, you know, we run some full court stuff, but basically, you know, we're a man team, and that's emphasized on day one.
Okay. Now, how is your schedule this year? I know you've always played a tough schedule. So how is your non-conference schedule before you get into conference play? How is that this year?
Tough. You know, last year, I think, was my toughest schedule ever. Mm-hmm. You know, because we played Detroit Pershing, who's number one in the state A, and we played Romulus, who was number one in A, and, you know, Eastern was number one in A. We had Kalamazoo Central we played. They were back-to-back state champs at the time. So this year it's going to be pretty similar. You know, we're going to play Romulus again. You know, they're going to be number one in A. They got two guys that have already committed. Wes Clark is committed to a guard. He's committed to Missouri. And another guy, E.C. Matthews, he's committed to Rhode Island. And they got a 6'8 kid. I forgot the big guy's name, 6'8 kid. But he's going to probably play in college somewhere. So they got a good team. And they've got, let's see, we got Romulus. We're going to play in the Floyd Mayweather Classic in Grand Rapids. So we're going to get a good team from the west side. You know, that's one thing I wanted to get this year. And then we're going to play also in the Kalamazoo Central Tournament like we did last year. That was one of the best games I've ever coached in my life. What an unbelievable atmosphere up at Kalamazoo Central. So, yeah, we're going to have a tough preseason schedule. You know, I want to see where we are. You know, if we lose them all, that's fine. You know, because really you want to get seasoning on you so you're ready for March. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing of why you play a preseason tournament. You know, some goals that I always have for the team is, you know, you want to win your conference and then you want to be ready going into the tournament. But the preseason gets you ready for your non-conference gets you ready for your conference. So that's why I've always scheduled tough like that, man. You know, I'm not going to shy away, and I don't want to play anybody that I can beat. I don't play any teams that are Class B or anything like that. I play all A teams, the teams that could punch us in the face a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Get us ready.
So you're gonna have them ready then. Well, you know, I'll be over to check out one of your practices. You know, it's early, so I'll try to go over and just watch one of your practices this year, buddy. And I know you see me at some of the games, that's for sure.
Okay, Earl, okay. Man. Always good talking to you. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Glad you're with us, and we'll talk with you a little bit later on, Carlton.
All right,
okay,
thanks,
thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Carlton Valentine talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. The time is 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When I say Hunter, what comes to mind? A burly guy in a blaze orange cap, or a former New York City denizen in her mid-20s who thanks her prey? How about a former vegan looking for more protein? I'm Jackie Leiden. Who's hunting now and why? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather forecast. We're looking for a high in the upper 30s today with scattered light snow, mostly cloudy skies. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low down to 22. Tomorrow, some sun and some clouds, the high 41. Thursday, partly sunny and a high of 45.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want a chance to win football tickets or basketball tickets, give us a call at 884-4870. That's 884-4870 for your chance to win basketball tickets or football tickets. Last home game coming up this Saturday. But right now, let's turn our attention to basketball, to college basketball. Of course, Michigan State's game tonight against Kansas. So let's bring in Mike DeCourcy. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, how are you?
Hey, doing good. And I wish I could be down there with you. But how do you think Michigan State's going to fare tonight, I guess, would be the first question, since they had that disappointing loss to, to Oak Connecticut, that is.
Well, they certainly have an even shot going in, but they're going to have to play much better basketball mm-hmm. in this game. And that entails playing much better from the jump. They were very poor in the first half, over the first 13 minutes or so. And then down the stretch, they just didn't execute. They got okay shots, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure they ever got the best shot when they had several opportunities to either tie it or take the lead. I didn't see him take a bad shot down there, but I didn't see him take any great shots. They obviously weren't in position to rebound offensively any of those misses, which usually is a hallmark of Michigan State, maybe shooting a little quick. So I don't think that either end of the game was ideal for Michigan State. And Kansas is a better opponent, maybe not quite as dynamic in the backcourt as what they faced over in Germany in UConn. And that may help Michigan State because this team, this Kansas team, is very talented, but is kind of execution oriented like the Spartans are right now, and so that may help Michigan State in this game. But I would think they're going to have to play a more consistent and more sound basketball game.
Yes, well, with this only being the second game of the year for the Spartans, how do you see that sort of manifesting itself? I mean, we know he can use that later on down the line. He'll be using that for when he gets ready for the NCAA tournament. So how does this game help them overall to start preparing for that, even though it's a long way off?
Well, I think the biggest thing it helps them with, first off, is exposure. You know, I don't always agree with Tom on the way he builds a schedule. Now, he says it's something that he likes, and it has worked for them in terms of getting ready for the NCAA tournament, certainly. And so that's, you know, it's impossible for me to question his methods, and yet sometimes I have because they've done so much really struggling to put a schedule together that doesn't overtax their team. Now, last year, I thought they had a more reasonable schedule. It looked on the front end very stern and overly taxing, but in the end it pretty much played out to be just right. I think this one's going to turn out to be just right as well. If you look at it, you know, the UConn-Texas hits you right over the head at the beginning, but then they go back home and they settle in for a long time. I mean, they've got, after this one, they've got 8 of their next 9 at home. There's a challenging trip to Miami in there because of the challenge series against the ACC, but the rest are pretty much manageable games. I think that's very helpful for Michigan State to be able to build a formula. It worked for them last year. They probably didn't even have quite as light a schedule last year as they do this year, but it was still light enough. But they were able to get those home games and build a formula and find a way to win. Now, I think they're going to need a formula here. I mean, Keith Appling needs a little bit of help in terms of running the offense. He had Draymond Green to lean on last year. Keith is either going to have to get better himself or he's going to have some sort of help. They're going to have to figure out what do they want to do with power forward. Is Adrian Payne – Adrian didn't look comfortable there on Friday. Mm-hmm. But you don't make snap judgments after one game. We've seen too many teams work things out, and certainly, you know, with a great coach and a fine player like Adrian Payne, you don't want to make any snap judgments. But the more games he gets against Texas Southern and Boise and Oakland at the Breslin Center, the more chance he'll get to get comfortable there.
Yeah. Do you see this being a young team, Mike? I mean, he's got 4 new recruits coming in playing this year. Do you view it as a young team still trying to find its way, or do you think they've got enough experience?
Well, I think they have enough experience because you've got 4 guys essentially who were starters or regulars on a Big Ten champion in a very good Big Ten. When they had to beat a Final Four team in order to get a share of that title, and then ultimately beat that Final Four team for the conference tournament as well. So that, and those guys have all been part of that. Payne and Nix and Appling and Dawson all were either starters or high-level regulars. Some of the guys that come off the bench, like Trice, played last year. So they've got plenty of experience, but what they have to do – again, you have Appling, who doesn't have the crutch of Draymond Green to help him run the offense. So he's somewhat in his, even though he's playing the same position nominally, it's a little bit different for him this year. Payne is playing a completely new position, so he's new to his spot, but he's played before. So I do think it's enough experience that you can win with it, and then enough really dynamic youth like Gary Harris, Valentine, who did some really nice things on Friday night, and then some really costly things as well. But you dwell on the things that, you know, that he did that were special, and then try to fix the mistakes, because that's what a great coach does.
Yes. Now, what about Keith Appling? Because, as you know, he's not the most vocal person, and Tom complains about that. He's like to see, him become more of a leader. You know, since you've been around, you can't make a guy, I always said to Tom, even, well, you can't make a guy be a leader. He has to want that. Do you see him possibly developing some leadership skills?
You know, I think even more so than leadership skills, but sometimes that's hard to fake. And and that may be, you know, that's something that this team's going to need from somebody. And doesn't seem like anybody's a natural at it.
Yeah.
But I think even if he's not comfortable with that, the most important thing is he's got to direct things. I mean, he's got to make sure that he makes good decisions with the ball. He can't be turning it over at the rate that he did on Friday night or that he did back in the Louisville game. That's 2 games in a row where he really struggled to control the basketball the way he needs to. So for me, the first thing is make good decisions. Be good with the ball. And if you're doing that, then, you know, whether or not you yell at somebody, the coach can yell at somebody. I think it's more about making intelligent decisions with the basketball. The fewer mistakes that are made on the floor, the less you have to worry about whether or not the guys, you know, are getting after each other. I think that's his first responsibility and priority. And if he does that, then I think this team will start to flow much better.
how much do you think not having a real strong leader helps or hurts the team? Do you find that many teams that don't have strong leaders, do that struggle? Or how does that happen? I mean, you see so many more games than of course, of what I do. So how do you see that? Who benefits the most? The guy with the real strong, heavy-handed leader, or just the guy that sort of like playing together, you know, but no one really wants to take ownership of the team?
When you have a Draymond Green, I mean, that's how you win a league championship. That's how you win a league tournament. And that's really important. Now, when that guy has a bad game like he did against Liverpool, then usually the rest of the guys follow him in that direction. So that can be a problem. But for the most part, it's a really important ingredient in championship-level basketball. And I think if you looked at Ohio State, that was probably one of the differences between them and a championship last year. They didn't really have that guy to follow. Aaron Kraft was a great director. He was doing all those things that I talked about, Appling first priority.
Right.
He was doing all those, but he wasn't then a comfortable leader because he was younger than a lot of the guys he was leading. And I think that hurt them, certainly in the Ohio State game, or excuse me, the Kansas game in the Final Four, or in Michigan State down the stretch in Indy for the conference tournament title. So I think it can be the difference at that. But look, that's a high class problem to have. That's kind of the point I'm making about the first priority being make good on court decisions for Keith. Because if he does that, then you're going to win a lot of games. And then you may wind up eventually losing the big games. Or if he does that and he gains confidence and he's making smart decisions, then at that point he might be able to say to other guys, hey, you know, you got to be here so I can be smart and look smart. I think that's the difference. Right now he's not making good decisions with the basketball and really taking care of it, so it's hard for him to tell everybody else what to do.
Yeah. Now, what about when after these first two tough games, after the Connecticut and the Kansas game, how does Michigan State come back and regroup for these non-Big Ten games? What's the challenge there with all these non-Big Ten games coming up?
Well, so to me, at that point, you get to be at home, your fans, your students, and then you can work on becoming great. And like I said, 8 of the next 9 after this one are at the Breslin Center, pretty much against mid-major opponents. Some of them good ones, like Oakland, has had a very good record. Some of them maybe not as strong. But those are games in which you can address all of what I'm talking about. There are a lot of people who think those games are worthless.
Right.
And my answer to that is always, okay, then why do you practice against walk-ons?
Mm-hmm.
If learning how to execute properly and go through your set at 3 o'clock in the afternoon is important, why does everybody waste so much time?
Yeah.
Then why not just go and either study or, you know, go have a beer? I mean, there's a reason you practice.
Yeah.
And those games serve an even better purpose because now you're doing it with an audience. You're doing it under the same conditions. You'll eventually do it against Iowa and Ohio State and Wisconsin. And down the road, perhaps in the NCAA tournament against Davidson and Pitt and Duke. So, absolutely, you want to play those games. And a lot of people who do what I do think only about themselves. Frankly, they want to see more interesting games that they can get excited about. But I try to think like the coaches, and you know, there's something to be accomplished in those games. You build confidence. You build a method. You build a formula. And you build the precision that I talked about, and then when you eventually play the better opponents, you know the things you have to do. You just know you have to do them against better opposition.
Okay. Now, what about the Big Ten as a conference this year? I know I've heard you and a lot of people talk about the Big Four. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana. How is the rest of the conference? What do you expect from the Big Ten this year?
Well, I would put Wisconsin in that group. I would have ranked Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, ahead of the Spartans until Josh Gosser was injured and lost at the point guard position. But I still think they'll be very good. I just don't think they'll be quite as dangerous as they were before that. But they're very good. I think Iowa has a chance to be better. Minnesota has a chance to really spoil that top four you talked about. Minnesota could be very good with Andre Hollins, Austin Hollins, with Trevor and Bakwe coming back. They've got good size up front. I like their group a lot, and think that if it weren't for already having like five Big Ten teams in the top 25, we would have been very much have liked to have had Minnesota in there as well. I think it's the strongest conference nationally. I think there are similarities, not numerically because they only have 12 members as compared to 16. But I think there are similarities here to what the Big East was a couple of years ago when they got 11 teams in. This is a league that can shoot for 8 or 9 out of 12. I don't think they could get beyond that, but I think they could get to 8 or 9. Now, everybody has to play great in non-conference for that to happen, and then some of the teams at the bottom have to split, and you probably, in order to get to 8 or 9, you have to have complete cooperation from Penn State and Nebraska being really bad, and I'm not sure that Penn State's going to be willing to do that, and I'm also not sure that Nebraska is either. But I do think that there are a lot of strong teams there. You've got beyond what I mentioned, Illinois is not going to be non-competitive. They're too well coached. They've got too many good players. Northwestern still has a chance to get their first bid. So I do think that there's a lot of top to bottom strength in this league and some really elite teams at the very top.
Well, you stole a little bit of my thunder because I wanted to ask you, how good is Northwestern going to be this year? Will they finally get in the tournament?
Well, obviously, the odds are if you're predicting that, just say no, and you'll be right every time, at least at this point.
Yep.
But I do think they have a chance. They've got more size than they've had in a while, and that could help them because one of the things that they really struggled with was they'd force a bad shot or a missed shot, and then they couldn't rebound it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just weren't physically strong enough to keep everybody off the board. They have more size. Now, if those guys can be nimble enough to play, they have a couple of centers finally. They have a power forward who transferred in from Louisville, Jared Swapshire, who's not a great physical specimen, but he's a scrapper. He'll get some rebounds. So I think they have a chance. Drew Crawford is a good guy to have. Their guards have played a lot of basketball. I would say, again, if you ask me what I bet, I'd say no because of the strength of the league and because they've never made it before, but I do think they have a chance.
Okay. Hey, Mike, before I let you go, just give me what you think is going to happen in tonight's game. How will Michigan State fare in this Kansas game?
I think they'll play fine. At this point, after what I saw Friday, I wouldn't pick them. I'm not a bettor, and I'm not much of a picker anyway, so I wouldn't worry about that if I were a Spartans fan. But I think this is going to be a hard game for them because Kansas does have some size, does have some depth up front, and does have a physical point guard to go against Appling. But he's not a great athlete. He's somebody that if Keith wants to, I think he can go by him. And then, again, he's got to make better decisions with the basketball. I expect it to be a very competitive, very entertaining game.
Okay. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and I'll be getting back with you during the season. As you know, it's a long basketball season.
Okay, Harold, take care.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Okay,
all right, bye-bye.
And that's Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News from the Big Ten Network talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Watch the game tonight, Michigan State and Kansas. You can see that on ESPN. So make sure you check out the Spartans tonight. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us. Right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, WKAR East Lansing. We do come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. We love to have you each and every day by calling us or listen to us. You can text us, you can send us an email. And there's a lot of ways for you to stay in touch with us. So we want you to stay in touch with us. That's each and every day right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.